You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll talk about how to cut down on food waste on this Food Friday with the author of Eat It Up.
Right now, politics watchers are paying close attention to the presidential race polling lately. A big national lead for Hillary Clinton has narrowed to a close race with Donald Trump.
And our next guest says, so what? In a recent editorial, he makes the case that we pay too much attention to polls at the expense of important political issues that tell us a lot more about the candidates and the choices facing voters.
Jeffrey McCall joins us now. He's a professor of communication at DePauw University in Indiana. Jeffrey, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. Great to be with you.
Well, you write that polls, in effect, are more for media branding purposes than real content. How is that?
Well, every media organization wants to be in the discussion when it comes to the polling world, and so they all want to sponsor them. So when you look at the number of polls, I mean, heaven sakes, we've got, you know, 10, 15 different national polls coming out every week or so, and most of these media organizations are not doing these polls so much to help enlighten the public as much as they are to get their news organization front and center in the political news.
So you think journalists in all media pay too much attention to these polls?
Well, I think we pay too much attention to them, and it's not just the journalists who are at fault here, because I think it's the executives of the various networks and news organizations who are more interested in the visibility and the branding that they can get from being out there in the polls. But once the polls are out, though, I do think the journalists tend to overemphasize the importance of polls. And there are a couple of issues there, I think. One is that it puts it puts any campaign, whether it's a state, local, or national campaign, it puts that campaign into kind of a horse race metaphor, so to speak, where we're just watching numbers change as opposed to really looking at the issues and the strengths and abilities of the various candidates. But beyond that, I think it also kind of diminishes the whole process of democracy, in that really when we're going to the polls, we should be trying to decide, you know, what are the candidates' best strengths? What are their abilities? What do they bring to the electorate? And when we reduce all of our election coverage to polling, it makes it more of a sporting event. And I'm not sure that's helpful for us when we go to the polls if we're worried about, like, well, does it matter if I vote? My candidate might lose, or my candidate's expected to lose. And I'm wondering about the effect of polling on participation in the process.
Well, let's think about it maybe a different way. What if that horse race element is bringing some people into politics to pay attention to it who might not? They like that competitive angle on it, and that's maybe their entry point, being addicted to 538.com or something, and that's their window into getting into politics.
Well, anything that would get people engaged in the political process is a good thing. But I would be surprised if we have a lot of people who were not engaged in the process who were suddenly going to get engaged just because they saw a flood of polls, or they saw a slight movement in a poll. And I think that's one of the issues, too, is that the way that the polls are reported at times maybe exaggerates their importance because, you know, by the way, I'm not a statistical expert. My PhD's in media study. But I have studied statistics to some extent, and you well know, of course, that any poll is just a snapshot in time of a representative group of people, and it isn't necessarily definitive. And during the primary season, we saw a number of polls that were pretty far off the mark, and I think the Bernie Sanders campaign particularly was under polling throughout the primary season because, well, there could be various reasons, but I think that seemed to de-emphasize the movement that Bernie Sanders was putting together by suggesting that he was trailing decisively in a number of states, including a couple that he won.
What would you like to see from the media? Say we take out most of the column inches or TV or radio minutes, whatever, that we currently devote to polls, take most of that and put it into other kinds of campaign coverage. What would you suggest the editors and publishers do with that space?
Well, I think it would be good to just show a little restraint here. And again, by the way, I'm not one of those guys who's going to say, well, let's just cancel all polls. There should be never a poll. I mean, it is part of our political process, and it's part of our reporting culture, and I'm okay with that. It's the amount of poll coverage, I think, that disturbs me the most. And I think if we showed a little restraint in the journalistic world to say, well, we're not going to cover every poll, and we're not going to obsess with every poll, and we're not going to overemphasize a poll swing of 2 points, which statistically is irrelevant, of course, I think that they would be better off to spend their time going beneath the surface. on candidates' abilities, their qualifications, their issues, maybe talk to more voters and that sort of thing, because the polling coverage we see is just really one part of the overall journalistic thrust of political coverage in this day and age, which not only focuses on polling, but what I call campaign machinery. You know, where the candidate is today, what's their schedule tomorrow, how much money did they raise, which, you know, battleground states do they have to campaign in. And, you know, I think we would be better off learning more about economic policy, and I think we'd be better off knowing more about international qualifications or their ability to work with different constituencies or that sort of thing.
We're talking to Jeffrey McCall, professor of communications at DePauw University. In a recent editorial, he says he makes the case that we put too much focus on polling in our presidential races, our political races in general. Interested in hearing what you think at 800-642-1234. Do you agree? Is there too much attention to polling, or are you an addict? Do you go and look at all the latest polls, try to figure out what they mean, or are you a little of both? You don't like polls, but you can't stop looking at them anyway. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jeffrey, there's different types of polling. I mean, there's the horse race polling that gets most of the headlines, certainly, but there's also things where, you know, voters are polled on particular issues that are important to them. Do you agree with candidate X's policy on an issue? Do you think that is more informative, or does that kind of do the same kind of disservice, do you think?
No, I think that is more informative. And I mean, I think you've raised a really interesting point here, is that we can use polling to get an assessment of what's on the mind of the electorate and what their sentiment is on particular issues or even on particular candidates. And I think that probably serves us more than just the raw, like, who are you going to vote for or who do you think should be elected the next city councilman or U.S. senator or whatever. I really like that idea that the polls should maybe just broaden out their perspective a little bit. And interestingly, a lot of the polls that you see from Fox News or CNN or NBC, their polls do go down to raise some of those issues that you suggest, but they aren't reported as much as just who's got the lead, who's gained on who, who's got the momentum. And a lot of these stories then end up creating like a false narrative that somebody has momentum because they've gained 2 points in the poll when really, again, that's not that relevant.
We'll go to our callers now. We've got Melissa on the line in Wausau. Melissa, hi.
Hi. So, in my opinion, the polls are fundamentally flawed when they are asking questions specifically between the two top candidates as though the other candidates weren't even on the ballot. So, you know, if they call and say, who do you pick between Clinton or Trump, and they don't even ask the question about Johnson until later or Stein until, you know, 3 or 4 questions later, that's not how the ballot appears. So the polls are fundamentally flawed from the beginning when the polls are not asking the questions of exactly how the candidates are going to appear on the ballot.
Melissa, thanks for the call. And yeah, Jeffrey, I know different polls approach the candidate issue differently. Some do just head-to-head Democrat-Republican. Some include an other category. Some spell out all 4 candidates. Or, as Melissa said, sometimes there's 2 separate questions, 2 or 4. What do you think about that?
I think Melissa raises an excellent point here, and I think the polls should actually reflect what the ballot is going to look like when people go to the polls. And if there are multiple candidates for a particular office, I think the polls should try to reflect that.
So even candidates, there are often third-party candidates, not just Libertarian or Green, ones that are only on the ballot in a couple of states. You'd want to see them on polling?
Well, in those particular states, I think that would be relevant, because even if you have a candidate from non-major parties, if they have any amount of support in a close race, that could be telling.
Right. That is an argument that by paying so much attention to the two major party candidates, because, look, polls show that they're the ones who have a chance of winning, it can be a self-fulfilling prophecy, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. And an interesting study just came out this week from the Media Research Center, which, you know, obviously is a right-leaning research organization. But they pointed out that in the last 6 months, the Libertarian candidate for president, Gary Johnson, had only about like 15 seconds of news coverage in all of the major news networks, news flagship newscasts at 6:30, but he muffed that question on Aleppo, and all of a sudden he was the focus of 6 or 7 minutes worth of coverage over the last couple days, but both basically pointing out that he was clueless. And I'm thinking, well, there are a lot of other things that he should be able to discuss over the last 6 months rather than just that he muffed the question on Aleppo.
Melissa, thanks for the call. We'll go back to our callers with Jerianne in St. Francis. Hi.
Hi. Glad to be here to speaking with you. I agree with you on the polling. There's just way too much information on the polling. So many polls. I think it might be discouraging, actually, quite frankly. Also, I agree that you should be talking about the issues, the candidates, what they stand for, don't stand for, past voting, or what they agreed with in the past, so on and so forth. Way too much on where they're going, where they are today, and not enough on the issues. Never enough on the issues, on past experience especially.
Jerianne, thanks for that call. I mean, there is issue coverage out there, Jeffrey. Do you think if we paid less attention to the polling, we might get more creative in the way we present that, what you see as more useful information, like Jerianne was saying, where the candidates are on issues?
Yeah, another excellent point by your caller, Jerianne, that if we weren't covering polls so much, there would be more time and more resources for covering other things. And I think one thing that probably is still worth us mentioning here is that the accuracy of polling should be called into question because the response rate of citizens in polling has declined a lot over the last year. And this is information that comes from the Pew Research Center that has pointed out that the response rate for all the people contacted to participate in political polling now is just about 9%. And that's down from 36% 20 years ago. So we're really making quite a statistical leap to assume that 9% of the people who are willing to respond to polls represent the viewpoints of all the 91% of the people that either can't be reached or won't participate in polls.
Jerianne, thanks a lot for the call. I should plug our coverage of the political candidates on foreign policy issues. You can hear that in just over an hour here on Central Time. Jeffrey, I wonder if, speaking of getting more creative in coverage, campaigns have their own focus groups where they bring in voters to try out ads and messaging on that. Could journalists do more of that sort of thing, try to bring in somewhat representative focus groups and get people talking about the candidates, present what the candidates have to say? Would that be maybe a more informative format for people to use?
Yeah, I think that would be an interesting thing to do. We do see that once in a while on some of the cable news networks, but I don't think it would hurt even for the main networks to try that. And I mean, it might not make for a riveting long-form, television coverage, but I think you could do that behind the scenes and at least provide some of the input that they're providing as a perspective for us because, you know, it's hard to really get into people's attitudes and the depth of their feeling when you're just going through a series of polling questions over a phone or even online. And when you talk to people in focus groups, you can ferret out their opinions a lot more deeply and get a little bit more a sense of the intensity of their attitudes.
So, Jeffrey, I don't have any polling on whether people agree with you on polling or not, but do you feel like you're a lone voice crying in the wilderness, or are you getting a lot of positive response to this?
Well, interestingly, the column I wrote has had a good deal of positive support and reflection. I do feel like probably it's not going to change the approach of the major networks or news organizations, but I do think that it's worth, you know, getting the discussion out there and reminding people that we shouldn't exaggerate polls and that as news consumers, people should maybe look at polls but not obsess with them, and it shouldn't affect the way they're going to vote. And the other thing I think is worth mentioning here is that news organizations have a responsibility to us, and they should try to get us the best coverage they can, and polling is a part of that, but it shouldn't be such a big part of that that they exaggerate the importance of these polls. And let's face it, if they are going to do polling, I think they at least owe us more depth of explanation for how the polls are conducted, what the statistical manipulations are, and the implications of those polls, rather than just to say, oh, we have a new poll, there's been new momentum for Trump because he gained 2 points in Ohio.
Jeffrey, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That's Jeffrey McCall, professor of communication at DePauw University.
Coming up after the news, it's Food Friday. Our guest shares recipes and techniques to help reduce food waste. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.